You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, committed to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to episode 96. We are about 7 days away from the Elixir Project Global Release. If you have not registered for your free ticket, you are missing out. The team tells me we have over 75 satellite locations to date. We have massive amounts of people who are going to be watching the live stream. We are going to break a world record. We are going to set a world record for the largest book release party ever. So if you are not coming, you are missing out. We are giving over $7,000 of prizes just for the heck of it, just because it's my 40th birthday, because this is the official day of the release, because this is a passion project for the last 2 years, because I want to have a blast. I just hired a painter to come, a painter, literally. We have so many crazy things that are going to be happening that night. We have a red carpet. We have a pre-party. We have a post-party. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And I want you to share in this special moment. You are a podcast listener. You need to be there. If you absolutely are donating a kidney that night or something crazy where you cannot come, still register. We'll send you the replay, but you're really going to enjoy yourself. So excited. I mean, this is just, it's epic for me. It really is. I'm so thankful. Our launch team is over 1,000 people. Can you believe that? Just the launch team. I mean, and besides the launch team, last time I checked on Amazon, 105 four and five star reviews, mainly five star, but we got a few four too. That's cool. That's cool. Whatever people rate it, you know, it's all good. And over 105 to date. I'm blown away. This is amazing. I feel so supported. It's hard work, but it's worth it. And hang with me. I will share with you all along the way what we're doing to make this happen. We have a super cool episode today. Amazing. A special guest. I rarely bring in special guests. We have a special guest, a female special guest. So you'll want to hang with me in a second. Let me make a few quick announcements. We'll jump right in to the content today. Very important topic, all about audiobooks. Audiobooks are doing some crazy cool things in the world today. But before we jump into that, the link that you want to join the party, ElixirProjectBook.com, ElixirProjectBook.com/party. That, my friend, when you register, if you haven't already, that will get you free entrance into the live stream party online, worldwide, wherever you're listening from, tablet, mobile, laptop, or if you want to join us in Ohio, you can. We have people driving from out of state just to get there. But in addition to that, when you register, you get one free name in the hat. So we are actually giving away a publishing deal. This is a publishing deal where I help you write, market, and publish your book. You own all the rights, all the royalties, and this program is a $5,000 value. This is a very elite program. It's a very select program. We are actually, for the first time ever, giving away one scholarship as a prize. So we have people jumping out of the woodwork to do that, to apply. It's absolutely free. You get one ticket in the prize pool just for registering. If you want to earn extra chances, you just pre-order a book. So we have people that, you know, are buying one book and they're getting 10 extra chances. We have people buying 20 books and they're getting, what is that? 10 times 20. I don't even know. 200 chances, extra chances, whatever. You do the math. You figure it out. So it's cool. There's fantastic things going on. If you do get a pre-order book, make sure you email your digital receipt to receipt@carryoverbrunner.com. Receipt@carryoverbrunner.com. We will give you a free unhackability assessment with any book order, any amount, and we will also put your name in the hat 10 times extra for every single copy you purchase. This could be electronic, audio, hardcover, softcover, you name it. So it's really cool, especially with the holiday season coming. A lot of people realize, you know what, this is the book for everybody, ages 12 to 120. People are absolutely loving it. If you don't believe me, go read the reviews. Check it out. These are people who are all different age groups, teenagers, adults, senior citizens, you name it, men, women, single, married, you name it, whatever. In addition to that, a lot of people are ordering them for holiday reasons. You got to buy something anyways for these people, and why not give them a really cool book, a near future thriller that's blowing people's minds about what is happening very soon in our world, what could happen. Let's see, where else are we going with this? Just super excited. Today is all about audiobooks. Audiobooks is, okay, I got to clarify a few things. I did the interview with Heather earlier today. I said a couple things wrong. So let me clarify what I said wrong. I said audiobooks have surpassed physical products. And that was actually quoted from a source. But as I did a little bit more digging, I don't like that source. So audiobooks are definitely on the rise. I mean, you look at all the data, it's super exceeding, exploding, you name it. Audiobooks are the way that publishing is going, but it has not surpassed physical copies yet. So one source said it did. I did some more digging just because it sounded so crazy. And I thought, I don't know about this. The other thing that I quoted was that if you, okay, this is a true thing. I want to give you guys 100% accurate truth. So if I quote something and it just doesn't feel right, I go back and I dig and dig and dig. So I dug a little bit more. The gentleman was Brian Tracy. I thought it was Darren Hardy. Yes, he did quote Brian Tracy. Yes, Jim Rohn did quote Brian Tracy, but Brian Tracy was the original guy who said that the average person commutes, according to the Automobile Association, between 12,000 and 25,000 miles a year. So the average person, therefore, spends 500 to 1,000 hours in their vehicle. And if they are consuming quality content via audiobooks, they are doing the equivalent of two post-college semesters. So think about that. The average person, 500 to 1,000 hours per year in a vehicle. Most people just listen to talk radio, sports, nothing, or just music. And again, there's a time for that. But other people are listening to audiobooks. And in this episode, and in the show notes especially, I give you a free audio subscription. It's a 30-day trial. You get two audiobooks free in your first 30 days. It's through Audible. There's a special link that qualifies you for that. And it's fantastic. So you could get Elixir Project audiobook for free. Think about this. You could get it for free. You could earn 10 extra chances to win $7,000 worth of prizes all for free. And if you don't like it after 30 days, cancel. So there's really no loss to doing some investing in yourself today. So this is a very special episode. Again, I do not bring guests on unless I'm convinced they are going to add tons of value to you. And that is exactly what Heather did. She gave her perspective of what it was like for me to hire her. And I give you my perspective. And we talk all about how to find a good narrator, which, by the way, if you're like, I don't even write books, or I'm not going to ever do an audiobook, we teach you principles for all business today that essentially teaches you how to attract high-level talent, because this is very key. Some people say, I can never attract high-level talent to work with me or for me. That's a part of the problem. So we go deep into that. Some other things that we talk about as well. Other topics we talk about, how in the world and why in the world do I take on the persona of a female in this Elixir Project book? That's pretty interesting. We also talk about how to turn your industry upside down, and specifically by writing a fiction book and turning it into content that can be used to help people in real life situations. But you can take that idea, and it's a trend-setting idea, how to upset the industry that you're in. And I give you some gold nuggets on that topic for any industry. Other things we talk about, why you should date before you get married in business. So how I specifically and strategically test my future freelancers, my future collaborators, my future partners. How do I do that in business so that I don't get burned? Other things like how your first email to your high-level talent person is key. How you can lose the deal before you even get your foot in the door. Other things like scheduling a interview. I actually interviewed Heather. Even though I had 9 other people that I was looking at, I interviewed Heather and absolutely signed the deal after I spoke with her. Why? These are all gold nuggets. Whether you are going to do audiobook or not, tons of business principles, tons of secrets here. I attracted the dream team for Elixir Project. Best designer, okay? Best interior designer, Chris, you heard him on a few episodes ago. Best editor, best proofreader, okay? Every single step of the way, massive talent, best book trailer dude. How did I do that? And more specifically, why did I not let them just leave it up to chance? Why you as the leader, as the project manager, need to cast vision? That is your most important thing. You cannot leave it to chance. How do you know to give your freelancers creative license so that they feel like they own the project, but also give them very key strategies so that they don't miss the target? These are, oh my gosh, these are super master level, doctorate level questions, nuggets that are in there if you have ears to hear. If you just think, oh, this is just a talk about audiobooks, yes, it is. But there are lessons in there that are just gold if you can catch it. Other things like why I provided Heather with a style sheet and a character profile for every character in the book. Again, she said this was the first time anybody had ever done that. And she's done a lot of books. Why do I do that? Why do I treat the people that I hire and pay money to, why do I treat them as my clients? Okay, this is going to be a very, very popular episode because, yes, we're talking about a topic, but we are going so deep in the other stuff related to the topic. Okay, business stuff, strategy stuff, tactic stuff. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring on Heather. And you can hear from her. It's a fun little interview. We talk about, you know, we laugh. We talk about some good stuff. It's fantastic. So I'm just gonna let her jump right in, and we'll catch you at the end. I'm actually gonna let the interview just end. So in order to let the interview just end, let me say again, pause this video or this audio, and go register. Okay, go register for the party if you have not done that. And or if you have already done that, go join the Elixir Project VIP Facebook group, private Facebook group. And I show you exactly how we built a team of over 1,000 people, over 100 reviews. I give away so much. Why? Because I want you to succeed in your next book, your next business. I do want you to succeed. So I coach you, I mentor you. I've been doing this since July. And that's why the team has just exploded. So super excited. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoy the episode. We'll see you later. Hey, everybody. This is Cary Oberbrunner. It is awesome to have you guys with us. We are in episode 96, I believe, and we have a super cool guest today, a really important theme, why audiobooks are the fastest growing format in publishing, and how to cash in. And we have my own narrator although you are super independent and people can hire you and you're a superstar, Heather. So Heather Masters, welcome, welcome. I feel like I'm talking to, this is very weird. I feel like I'm talking to Sienna Ariadne, all the characters that have been living around in my head for 2 years. So welcome, Heather.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I think that our listeners are varied. You know, some are audiobook listeners, some are aspiring authors, some are coaches, some are thinking about maybe publishing a book someday. But I just did some research in prep, Heather, for this interview, and I was shocked to learn that audiobooks have actually surpassed print sales. Can you believe that?
You know, that's I'm torn about that. I did not know that, but I'm a little bit torn because I am a bibliophile and I'm the geek who loves like old books and the smell of them.
Yes.
And flipping the pages. And yet at the same time, I'm an audiobook narrator and I
yeah.
love that. I love that field as well. So that's interesting. And wow.
You know, it sounds so crazy. I got to check my notes. Yeah. Okay. Audiobooks have begun to outsell print, and that's MarketWatch. This was published January 30th, 2016. I have a lot of links that I'll put in the show notes, but yeah, I read that, and I have a whole bookshelf behind me. I couldn't believe that. But let's talk about this a little bit, Heather, before we get into kind of your story and Elixir Project. I mean, we all have an audiobook player, right? Literally, that we're holding. This is a crazy fact. I did a recent research because of the whole hacking thing going on right now. And the average person touches their phone 2,600 times a day. Isn't that crazy? Like, and touching counts as everything. Swipes, clicks, tapping, you know. But yes, 2,600. And that's average.
Wow.
Crazy users are double that. So when you think about this, you're touching the audiobook device 2,600 times a day. No wonder why audiobooks are, you know, you're not touching books that much, right?
Absolutely.
So talk to us, Heather. We want to learn a little bit about your story, but what, in your opinion, makes a good narrator? Because again, if you would ask me 6 months ago, I knew nothing about audiobooks. I did my own thing with day job to dream job. It was horrible. I liked it, but I knew when we were doing Elixir Project, I was not going to be a girl, even though I have a girl's name, right? I was not going to do this book. So I needed a narrator, prayed about it, you know, jumped online and just randomly started clicking on Amazon and found you among probably 9 others. And you were my first choice. What makes a good narrator?
Well, first of all, that's really fascinating to me that you had no experience with audiobooks and just kind of jumped into this.
That's how really... I do everything. That's how I do everything, though.
Wow, that throws me a little bit.
Why does it throw you?
Bravo. Just the fact that you not only jumped in, but jumped in and seemed to know what you were doing like that. So
interesting. So, you know, let's talk about that because you said I was the first one, I think, to email you what, like character profiles or something?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's actually a really great bonus to narrators is, you know, a lot of times when you read a work of literature, mm-hmm. you get your own idea of how you see the story. A lot of that is influenced by your own past, your
sure.
own thoughts and ideas. And yet, what you're really wanting to portray is the author's vision. That's
mm.
your job.
Mm.
And so whenever you emailed me and you emailed me a style sheet, pictures of how you envisioned the characters, and I'm a very visual person,
yeah.
so those were huge.
Yeah.
And then a flow as far as where the book was headed chapter by chapter. I mean, I have never received that kind of strategic information. And for me, I feel like that made my prep work just a breeze. So
wow. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And that's really, Heather, what I teach on this podcast. I teach people that if you're going to attract the best, which that's what I consider you as. I consider you the best, seriously.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have chosen you, right? So when you want to attract the best, I treat even the people that I hire as my clients. That sounds really weird, but do you get where I'm going with this? In other words, same thing with my trailer guy, which you saw the video trailer. Remember that? Did you like the video trailer?
Yes, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was fantastic.
If you want really good people to work with you and for you, you need to give them the vision. And so same thing with my book trailer guy. I wasn't like, hey, just create a book trailer. I'm like, here's exactly how I see it. And so you're saying, okay, number one, I love what you're saying. You're saying if you're going to get a really good quality product, you as the author need to create, what do we call that? A style sheet, a character profile, especially with fiction, that helps the narrator?
Absolutely. I think anything that you can do that gives the narrator kind of a snapshot into your brain, into how you see things, I think that is going to be extremely helpful.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is an important point that you brought up is, you know, not only if you want a narrator who is worth having, it's almost the, you need to make yourself look like you're worth having.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, I've been approached by multiple authors.
Sure.
And there's a few factors that go into whether I will consider accepting a book. And, you know, that first email or that first contact is important.
Yeah.
And if you come across as someone who's kind of
unprofessional, you know, I don't know.
Unprofessional or even this sounds silly, but even multiple errors in grammar or things like that in email, because in my mind, if you can't write an email that sounds like a grown-up, then I'm a little suspect about what your book is going to be like. And to be quite honest, you would be amazed at the amount, because on the platform that a lot of freelance narrators work is it on that platform, anyone can put up work that they've written to try to get a narrator, anyone.
Yeah.
And so you would be amazed at just the level of capability. It just runs the whole gamut. And,
That's
I would
big.
Say you, if yeah, absolutely. And so if you want someone to take you seriously or to be interested in your project, just, you know, make sure that you're coming across in a way that is professional and that would attract them. And that is one thing, you know, when you first emailed me, I was interested, intrigued, but reserved, because while everything that you said was nice and it made sense and you sounded like a coherent adult, I still hadn't seen your work.
Sure.
And so when you sent me that first chapter, I was like, okay. And
yeah. Awesome. Well, that's huge. That's huge. And, you know, people assume that maybe you're bulletproof. Maybe I'm bulletproof, meaning, you know, that I don't have any fears, that I don't worry. But in reality, I'm crossing my fingers when I'm sending you that email and I'm telling my wife, Kelly, I'm telling God, I'm like, I hope that she doesn't come back and say, this is crap. You know, I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? Because you get so close to the book and it's such a passion project. We've all heard of crazy creatives who like think they're coming up with something amazing, and then the rest of the general public's like, okay, you got issues, dude. So I was very nervous when I sent you that, because again, the public hasn't voted yet, you know, and you said to me before we started, I don't know, we have, I think 104, like almost 5-star reviews right now on Amazon, and it doesn't even come out for 9 more days or 8 more days or something like that.
Amazing.
But yeah, I was very nervous. But I'll tell you why I picked you. Can I tell you why I picked you? You tell me why you picked me. I'll tell you why I picked you. So one thing was response. I had been working, I won't say her name, but I just didn't know about you. And I heard another narrator a year or two ago. And I was like, this narrator gets it. And we contacted each other and she said she was in, and I kept, oh my gosh, this is like impossible to get a hold of, you know? And I just, and I'm like, what is going on? You know, this is crazy. And then I said, forget it. There was a time where I just said, I'm done. And now I'm going to like go on a hunt. And I hated to just go on a blind hunt because I don't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So then I went on Amazon, and you know, Amazon's great because it says, if you like this book, then you probably like this one or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I started to listen to, and I needed a female narrator. I needed someone to sound younger, you know, because it's a college age main character. I needed someone who was strong, but yet also innocent and emerging into her strength, you know, like a real character development through the story. Mm-hmm. You know, like fears, believable, all this stuff. But yeah, so I really, you know, and then you knew from Elixir. I mean, what do we have? We have Australian accent. Yes. Yeah, why don't you go in and tell us how many accents, roughly? I don't even know. But
I, off the top of my head, I think there were about 8.
Okay. Australian.
Besides American.
Yeah, yeah. UK, Japanese.
You definitely
Japanese.
Gave me a run for my money. That, yeah. That's the most accents I've done in one book. So.
Really? And you Bravo. You nailed the Hispanic accent because you said you have a friend who's...
I do. My best friend is a sassy Hispanic
There you
girl.
Go. There you go. So you nailed it. Men, women, older, younger, computerized, digitized voices, you know, terrorists type thing. We call them hacktivists. So you nailed it. And people who are listening to the audiobook, they are literally saying, and here's my big secret, Heather, I don't know if I told you this. I have a big dream that this book becomes a Hollywood major motion picture. And I knew that to go from book to movie potential, the missing piece, and we probably need to do some kind of story on this, but in my opinion, you need a crazy good audiobook because it's a half step toward the movie in my mind. Maybe I'm just out to lunch, but
no, I think
saying?
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because they call it they're not only calling it audio books, they're calling it audio experiences. I mean, that's what you're literally doing. So let's talk about a few things then. I made a little list before we jumped on. So you obviously read the story. What about the story as you did the reading? You sent me an email that, again, I was nervous and I was wondering what you thought. And I said, hey, what do you think about the work? You know, you did all the voices. What do you think? And you said there was a point where you actually had to stop because of you got so emotional, like crying. Talk to me about that, because that excites me that you actually got it. It wasn't just a job. You got into it, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to back up really quickly
because
you said something that interested me and just about audiobook narrator and your
Maybe
frustration with lack of response. And I will tell you that in this industry, since I think some of your listeners are potential, you're looking for audiobooks. In this industry, there is kind of a stigma because it is a creative industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people who are creatively talented are so right-brained that they have a hard time with
details and all that.
Like organization or staying on top of things. So I would say when your listeners are on that search, pay attention to that because that's a really good sign. And actually, that is a pervasive problem in the industry.
Yeah.
And one of the things that when I was getting training that my coaches and things would say is, hey, if you have talent, big deal. Tons of people have talent.
Mm-hmm.
be the person who's always on time, be the person who, you know, can be organized and respond. And that's the person you're looking for. And I think that's an important factor when you're looking for an audiobook narrator is kind of, you know, pay attention to those little things. Yeah. Do they respond to emails? Do they, you know, those things like that. So I think that's important.
I think it's really important because by the way, are you getting any reverb or are we good?
No, we're good. Oh, I'm not. I'm not over here.
Okay, cool, cool. We're making deadlines, right? I mean, this was part of it. I said, Heather, you know, can we make this deadline? And here's when I want this book release to happen. And I knew that if details, if you were just like, oh, you know, I was going to talk to you 3 weeks ago, but I didn't get back with you. That was a big concern, you know, because I'm creative, but I'm also type A. It's a very weird combo, you know. I try not to be a jerk, but I try to be, you know, detailed and stuff. So it is kind of a weird thing that I'm like that. But at the same point, what did I do? I had an interview with you. Do you remember this?
I do.
So I forget if I paid you for that. If I didn't, I should have. So I owe you money, but I might have paid you. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't. Did I not pay you? I should have paid you. I don't know if I did.
I paid you for the commercial, but... You mean when we just Skyped?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was just a...
You just did that free. So you were nice. You were nice to do that. But I tell my authors that that's something they should do. Meaning, I really think they should. Because when I got my editor... I'm all about dating before you get married, if that makes sense, right?
Absolutely. So
before I slapped down thousands of dollars to hire someone, is this going to work out? So let's have a mini test first. And that's what I did with the editor. And she said, well, here's my fee and I'll do 10 pages. And my fee's higher because you need it faster. And I'm like, done. I'd rather know with a little bit of pain, you know, investment, if it's a fit. And if it's not, great, I saved myself time. That's why I actually interviewed you too.
You know, and that's funny because I hadn't thought of that until just now, but you're actually the first author who I have Skyped live with and had a live interview with beforehand just to talk about things. And I agree with you. I'm on board with that.
Are you?
Because... that's the way I would do it personally, just because I think when you talk with someone face to face, you get a little better feel for who they are.
Right.
And
this is your baby.
And, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, is this a baby to you too? Or are you just like, what the heck, you know? Right. You know, this is like dropping off your kid at the daycare. Right. I mean, it's a weird analogy, but isn't it true though?
I think, you know, I agree with you. I am a writer in secret, and I have written several things, but I'm the person who I don't show anybody because I'm too, you know, so I know exactly what you mean when you say, you know, when you're like opening your heart to someone and like, there's so much opportunity for rejection. So I agree. That's so scary.
So that's a good point. I think our listeners need to realize there's so many business principles that we're saying today. Like, date before you get married, test, pay attention to that initial email as far as how they present themselves. So did we answer that? I'm glad you stopped and said that.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
So, no, but that was really good. That was really good. So now, why you cried? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's good.
You know, there were actually several times, but now when I was going back to it, I was trying to remember when the second one was, but I know the first one because it wasn't just once that I had to stop. It was several times I had to stop, and that was during Tilda's story about her son.
Yes.
And I am a parent.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because when I read it the first time, it was as an outsider and it was, oh gosh, that's horrifying, but let's keep going because I had a purpose, which was I need to read this book and get the characters down. And, you know, and so the second time when I was Tilda, that was horrifying because I was seeing it playing inside my mind. And,
wow.
But I think your portrayal of that in the book was important.
Yeah.
Because I think the intensity and the ferocity of potential atrocities, I think that spelling that out helps people to understand this is what we're talking about. This is how serious it could be. And frankly, is to some degree
today.
And I think we don't want to see that, or we want to turn away and not think that it could be that bad. And so I think that that moment was extremely important in the book to really spell it out, that this is what we're saying. This is what's on the line. I think that that's a really important scene.
Yeah, because if your book's not believable, right, and you just start, you know, whatever, I'm giving a cliche, but you just start killing people, or you just start, you know, whatever, violence or sci-fi stuff, to me, you don't draw people in. And so you need to give the backstory. Yeah, there's some big scenes. There's some deep scenes in there. You know, I'm curious, you know, because you've done fiction before, The Gifting, right, and other books. You've done all kinds of stuff. What have you done? You've done commercials. You've done video games.
Video games.
Wow.
I do other narration projects, book trailers.
Yeah.
All kinds of genres of fiction.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you have this wide plethora of you know, experience. You were a little surprised, I think, when I said to you that, yes, this is a standalone fiction book that's totally self-contained, not a hint of anything but a fiction book that's a near-future thriller. Mm-hmm. And then I shared with you kind of this vision for the book actually is also going to help people become unhackable in work and life. And when I share that with my editor, she was kind of like, what? You know, like, seriously? Like, but then she's like, okay, now I can see it. You know, talk to me a little bit about that process with you. Was that, because you shared a little bit about your husband, you know, kind of like personal growth stuff and stuff like that. But how did that strike you?
Well, it's been really interesting because when, like I said, the first time I read through the book, it was from a purely statistical standpoint trying to plot out how am I going to see this and where is this going and who's doing what and how are they relating to each other. Then narrating the book, in the very early stages of narrating the book, you were having your Igniting Souls conference, and you had sent me information about that.
Yeah.
And so I went on your website and saw it was a weird moment because I saw the themes from the book, all three verdicts right there. And it was like teaching you in real life how to do this. And there was kind of this moment in my mind where I was like, wait, for real? And it made it so that when I was narrating the book, it completely changed it from this is just a fiction, what if story in a futuristic world.
Yeah.
It changed it to this is an allegory, or this is an analogy of what real life is. And actually, those are my favorite kinds of books.
Yeah.
Books that are multidimensional.
Yeah.
I think they stick with you longer. They come to you at different parts of your day, just randomly. And that is what's happened with this, is even the second time as I was narrating it, different facts and statistics that would be pointed out, why they were doing different verdicts and what they were hoping to accomplish and what was already in your brain that led them to. And the first time reading through, those concepts were just futuristic, made up world. The second time I was like, wait, are these true? And so, I found myself, and I have since found myself multiple times, as I'm going about my day thinking, wait, you know, am I thinking rightly about this, or am I seeing what I want to see, or,
Like Raz Filter, Flow, yes, you that, know, that Idea movie. Anatomy, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that to me, that takes it from just a nice fiction book to something that is really outside and something that kind of is in a separate category that I love.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, that was why I needed the perfect narrator and, you know, every single piece. I mean, down to cover design, narration, editing, the trailer, the website, the book release. I mean, this has been intense the last 2 years of my life.
And I'm going to throw in really quickly, book cover. Your book cover is brilliant. It's beautiful. And it's inviting. And book cover is super important.
Yeah.
As a narrator, there are, when I go to look at, like, if I'm going to look for a project that I maybe want to audition for, I will pull up and I'll have, thousands that I could audition for. And I will tell you, I don't even click on it. If the cover doesn't look like a real book that would be in a bookstore, I don't even click on it.
Interesting.
Because if you're not willing to put a professional face, first of all, no one on Amazon's going to buy it either.
Exactly.
That's the truth. They're not going to click on it because they do it the same way. I want to see first.
Yeah.
So I think book cover is really important. And
awesome.
Yours definitely drew me in.
Well, and a guy from Serbia created it. I mean, it is amazing how just... It's like rock stars from every discipline. I mean, it really is. It's just amazing. It's a dream team. So I'm excited. You know, and you bring something up. And later on, you should go to Amazon and look at it. Because what I did, Heather, I don't know anyone who's done this before, but I actually reached out to Amazon and I'm like, hey, can you guys get my book trailer on the page? And they said no, but they have this other thing called A+ listing. So, you know, it's on my Author Central page, the trailer. But because we kind of went with Author Academy Elite, which is not self-publishing, not traditional publishing, it's kind of my own publishing expression. We have close to 300 authors now in that. We're able to do some things that other people can't do. But there's this A+ listing where it literally tells Sienna's story with 5 pictures. So, you know, most people can only put their book cover. What we did is we created 5 pictures and it tells her story. It says, meet Sienna, a little bit about her. And then it says, you know, chosen against her will. And then it boom, boom. And it tells the story. So it's very cool what you can do these days.
That's very cool. Yeah. And I have not seen that
yet. Yeah, you got to check it out. Just scroll down and you'll see it. This is great. So I hear this is awesome. You know, authors think, oh, I can just slap down money and hire a narrator. But what you're saying, which I think our authors need to really pay attention to, is the narrator is choosing you too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there are, you know, based on your statistic that there are so many people who are listening to audiobooks now. There are so many projects that are available to narrators to choose from. And so it's not like we are
starving.
Well, unless you're a starting out narrator.
Yeah.
Narrators who have a few books under their belt and adequate training, we get to pick and choose kind of what we want.
That's cool.
And so which is really, really amazing and fantastic. But it also means that typically a narrator is already going to have, 6 or 7 books that they've already got
committed
that they're going to be, that they're, I've got 6 or 7 that I've already got right now. So right now I'm not even looking because I don't like to have too many. It stresses me.
Yeah.
Out.
I hear you.
Definitely keep in mind that it's kind of a two-way street. Although I will say, I don't want to give the idea too that narrators are, I can have whatever I want, because it's not that. And just so you know, just in the same way that you felt that nervousness, but you try to portray
confident,
we're the exact same way.
Exactly,
you know, every single time I sent an audition, or even worse, the audition is one thing, but that first like 15 minutes or even the whole book, there's always that, did I do it completely, you know, in a way that they're like, wait, that's not what I expected at all. know, you just, it's always this element of you won't know until you know. So,
and you bring up a good point. I love how you prepared me because I was ignorant. You know, I mean, in one way, you know, I have 13 books, I'm not 13 books, 13 years under me, 7 books. I've had other audio narrators assigned to me by HarperCollins. So, you know, they did Your Secret Name. They did one of The Fine Line. So I've had people assigned to me, but this was different. You know, this was a fiction book. This was me. This was me choosing. I read my own, one of my own nonfiction books, whatever, you know. I think it's different for me personally. I think nonfiction is different. Fiction to me is you are literally asking someone to create the world inside your head. It's very different. But what I liked is you prepared me. You sent me an email by somebody that said something about how narrators need to own your own book and make it their own too. Remember that? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And I think that's important because there is this kind of balance that happens in that while I want to know everything that you envisioned for the book, because I'm actually not you, there is going to be some sort of compromise in which I do bring some elements of how I see things or you know, my viewpoint. So it's kind of this kind of meshing together of both. And I think that that's important for authors to understand, because there are some times where authors have this vision in their head and they see how they want every single line to be spoken.
Yeah.
And so what can happen is the narrator will perform and then the author will send back,
like, oh, I've had
26 pages of notes.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just, I mean, every couple of minutes, and that's, then I can't perform. Yeah. Then I'm just kind of
judging. You're a critic inside your own head.
Right. And I'm not bringing what I can bring to the table. Instead, I'm just trying to kind of be a, what do they have? Those recording, those
dummies,
voices.
Ventriloquist. No?
Sure. Yeah. And so then, first of all, I'm not going to want to work with you.
That's right.
That's a big portion. Yeah. And so I think there has to be some sort of balance that is struck where as a narrator, I say, I'm going to do everything I can to present your vision. And as an author, you say, and I'm going to accept that it's not going to be 100% exactly how I heard it in my head.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a little bit of compromise that happens.
I think that's fantastic. I really hear you saying managing expectations from both sides.
Absolutely.
So I kind of manage your expectations by giving you a vision of where the book could really go. Nonfiction, fiction, personal growth, etc. You gave me a vision of, look, when I give you this back, you didn't say it like this, but you said, look, when I give you this thing back, like, give me some space. And again, you didn't say it like that, but I knew it was coming. And I'll tell you what, I don't, the changes I gave you, besides literal technical pronunciation, which was minor, I mean, you nailed everything. But I'm thinking there was like, what, maybe one or two at all
changes? Yeah, there were few, and they were absolutely important and definitely needed to be made. So that was good. And that's another thing that's helpful to note, is that one of the things that I said to you is make sure that you nail me on anything that you hear, because a lot of times, you know, I, as the narrator, I record it as I'm going and I don't ever hear it again for a narrator, at least most of us, listening to myself again, it's like fingers on a chalkboard. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so there are times where I will make, like, there was a line that Damon said at the very end of the first verdict, where he was surprising, he was trying to scare Sienna to recognize that it was a trap.
Yeah.
And when I recorded it, it was very chill, like, it's a trap.
Yeah.
and you told me, you know, they're going to die if she doesn't. And when I went back and listened, I was like, oh yes, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to recognize that, you know, you don't want to like, oh, I don't want to make them feel bad or
no,
I don't want to, because we know,
right,
you know, that,
right,
that there's going to be mistakes in there and there's going to be things that we did not nail.
Yeah.
And for me, my reputation is on the line with this as well.
Yeah.
So I want to nail it. So please tell me.
Yeah. And that's true. I mean, it literally says on the audiobook, it says Carrie O'Brunner and Heather Masters. So it's a true partnership. No. And let's talk about that. Price wise, let's talk about this, not in the sense of, you know, your hourly rate, but let's talk about the fact that there are three options. I think there's the author can read it themselves through ACX, and you know, they'll have to get a microphone, they'll have to make sure it's up to par, and it can be tricky, you know, if you're a brand new person. It takes time, you know, all that stuff. The other option is for them to give the narrator a royalty split, correct?
Yes.
And I'm just going to go out on the limb and just put words in your mouth here and say that's a real risk for you to do as narrators.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know if this author is legit. You don't, meaning like, are they really going to get behind marketing? You know, or are they going to just like, if I was a narrator, I would not ever do royalty split. I'm just being straight up, you know, because you don't know.
And there's several factors that go into whether I would consider a royalty share or not.
Yeah.
And one of them is, thankfully, Amazon has statistics where you can see how a book is selling in print form, and
first,
based on how well, yes.
So mine
based
wasn't
on,
done, yeah.
So, but like in your case, if you were an author and like, this is your first work of fiction, I would have never even considered a royalty share simply because this is your first work of fiction. So I have nothing to judge it by, you know what I mean? And so if you're a new author, then most narrators are not willing to even consider. If you have, if this book is already in print and it's, has a really good reputation of selling really well in print, then the narrator might consider going royalty share. What is more common is something called a hybrid agreement, where the narrator, for example, I have to pay to produce a book because I have to pay my editor who edits my work. Once I record, I send it to my editor who edits out any weird noises or long pauses and make sure everything is just right. So I would never do a royalty share book where I have to pay to read your book. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
So a lot of times a narrator will say, okay, look, I think your book's going to sell well enough for me to do this royalty share with you. So how about you pay my expenses for editing fees, and then we can do it royalty share split. So a lot of times people will do that.
Do that. Okay. That makes sense. And talk to me about, and then I know we'll wrap it up here, but I think you're doing a fantastic job. I think people are really going to benefit from this interview. And I think it was fun, by the way, to do this interview. I'm closing my eyes seeing Sienna, so it's weird. It's all good. what was I going to say? Is it weird that I did the audio simultaneously, almost if not before the print book came out? Is that kind of weird in the book world? Because I looked at some of these audio books, and it's like their book came out almost a year before the audio book comes out.
I think that there is changing trend, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think that it used to be, especially for publishing houses, they would publish your book in print, and then if it does well enough to warrant an audiobook,
interesting,
you know, you have to prove that the audiobook is going to be worth everyone's
investment,
time.
Yeah.
But I think especially if you're an author who is publishing through a platform that you have that opportunity, I think that's brilliant because of based on your statistic, you know, when your book first comes out and it has the most marketing around it and the biggest push, you're going to have your biggest audience that's going to look at it.
Right.
And so many people today, they don't have time to read a book.
Yeah.
I don't, I love to read. And that's why I got into this, is because that's all I had time for, is audiobooks all day long.
Right. Let's think about that. The average person is doing, so you can't multitask two cognitive things at the same time, but you can absolutely do one cognitive thing with another automated activity, like running, loading dishes, mowing the lawn. I literally build my tasks like that around what audiobook I'm listening to, if that sounds weird. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I gotta go to Walmart. I got my list in front of me. Rather than just go mindlessly for 45 minutes, I can get several chapters in this audiobook done. And it's fantastic. I have my little Bluetooth around here, right here. Yeah, I mean, how non-invasive is this, where, you know, I pop it right in here and I don't even have headphones. I'm just listening. I do the audio Bible. I do all my audio books. I think it's the way of the future, especially with commuting. A lot of people commute these days, right? Check this out. I don't know if you've ever heard this. The average person in, I got to get this. It's a Jim Rohn quote. We mentioned Jim Rohn in our email, but it's called a mobile university. He did the research and he said that the average person, I believe it's in 2 years worth of driving, will do enough to earn a PhD in a subject matter if they're listening to audio. Does that make sense? We put on enough miles in 2 years, and I'm going to actually get that. Keep talking, Heather. I'm going to find that right now because I cannot. I'm one of these guys where I can't rest until I get this. But Jim Rohn, audio, mobile university, and I'll find it. But what do you think about that?
I think that absolutely makes sense. And I think that if you factor, he's just talking about commuting. But for me, I'm like you. I try to find times all throughout my day where I can listen to my audiobooks. And it's through all kinds of tasks, whether it's folding laundry or
doing
the dishes
now.
Or driving. That's my phase. Or for me as well, every time when I'm in the car, if I don't have children, then that's when I do my audiobooks as well. So I think that I think that idea is important. The idea that you have so much capacity to learn if you take advantage of the opportunity, rather than, just turning on your radio and listening to the same thing. And I think that is super helpful for me to take advantage of opportunities where I could be growing, where I could be doing something valuable. I think that's great.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, I think you're right. And you just nailed it with mothers, but whatever phase you're at, even just instead of video games all the time for young people or old people, you can absolutely become a PhD in your subject matter. And then actually that's how, truth be told, Heather, I did not do a lot of fiction reading before Elixir Project, but it wasn't until I got that in my head that I said, now I'm going to study how other people do fiction. You see, so my study time was through audiobooks on how to write good fiction.
Were there certain audiobooks that you listened to help you develop style in writing fiction?
Absolutely. I mean, you comment to me, I don't know. Do you know of another, and maybe there is, I don't know. Do you know of another male fiction author who wrote a young adult fiction book as a female main character? I don't know. You tell me.
That's funny, because off the top of my head,
as the literal main character. Yeah. So to me, I had people have their telling me, like, you're an idiot. Like when I told them that I was going to do as a nonfiction author, 6 books traditionally published, go into the fiction world, go into the fiction world young adult, go into the young adult fiction world as a female, and then create personal growth, products and services enterprise from it. I mean, again, there's a lot of risks, but I'm so glad I did, you know?
That's funny because I don't think it even, it did, I will say it did occur to me as I was narrating. It definitely occurred to me that this is a man writing a female, and it occurred to me because it made me wonder, do you have daughters?
I have two daughters and a wife, of course. So, yeah. I mean, and a son. I have a son too. So Keegan's 11, Isabel's 9, Addison's 7, and then my wife. But my wife has two sisters. I have two sisters. Okay. You know, so I don't know. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I had people who know me say, did your wife help you write this book because you really nailed the way females think? I don't know. You know, you're a female. You know better than me. My guy friends are like, you're scaring me, dude. I'm thinking of a bald dude, you know, but whatever. Whatever. So I don't know if you thought it was an accurate perception of female emotions. And
I did.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going
for. I did. And I what I appreciated about it is that it felt real and genuine, but not I guess my thought would be a man writing a female, the risk would be to like go too sappy girly.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing that I really appreciated about it is I feel like it adds to the realism and to it adds to her femininity that she is a strong, real person and not just kind of this stereotype girl.
I was not going for the stereotype, you know. In fact, she's the leader in their circle of friends at times. Mm-hmm. You know, she's the one who's kind of like leading the way, even in the relationship with Damon at times. You know, it's kind of a mutual-led relationship at times. So that was all intentional. Well, Heather, this was brilliant. Where can people find out about you?
I have a website. My website is heathermastersvo.com.
Heathermastersvo.com. You also just joined Twitter.
I did.
So what? Tell me your Twitter handle again.
Heathermasters.
Iheathermasters.com. Or yeah, Iheathermasters on Twitter. You don't have a Facebook page yet and all that stuff because you are so sought after. You don't have time for social media.
Well, it's really actually, I had a Facebook page and I never remembered to do anything with it. So I finally just deactivated because it got embarrassing when
that's
it was like my last,
though. Yeah,
it was like 3 months ago.
Right. Well, and that's cool. And let's face it, you know, when you're a creative in your element, doing what you love, you have enough gigs. Again, part of why I wanted to do this is because I know there's someone listening who's saying, I really need a super good narrator. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to, I'm trying to feature all of the team around Elixir, because to me, that's another way I can give back and let people into the inside story. Because some people are just like, oh, how does an audiobook happen? So we really talked a lot about that today. The other thing, Heather, people should totally do audio because of subscriptions. Audible allows you 30 days free and 2 books free, and you can cancel at any time. So people can literally get Elixir Project free on audio right now and sample that Audible subscription for 30 days. I think it's incredibly smart. And have you ever turned an audiobook back in because you didn't like it? Have you ever done that? On Audible?
I haven't.
So there's been a couple books where I've gotten that are just not feeling it. You know, I won't mention the name. It wasn't fiction, but I just wasn't feeling it. And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, no biggie. And I wasn't going to do anything. But then I looked on Audible. I'm like, oh, if you don't like a book, you just say, it didn't meet my needs. And they credit you back and there you go.
I knew it was an option. And I actually, I don't know why I never think about it, but I have a book like that that's just been sitting there that just isn't for me. So yeah.
You're going to return it.
I'll do that. I know.
Keep it competitive. Well, Heather, this was fantastic. You just exceeded my expectations. I was blown away. I'm still blown away. I can't believe it. Even if people read Elixir, the print version, I think they should absolutely read it. We've had people do both, and they say it is such a different experience to hear you. It's like they actually see it. So thank you so much. I'm super indebted to you. Anything you want to say before we close?
I think the thanks is mutual. You know, I feel like I do a lot of literature, and this is probably the first book that I feel like I'm thankful to have read for the value that it is bringing to my life, even beyond just the story. And so, so thank you as well. That was an unexpected privilege. Yeah. So thankful.
Well, people are saying, oh my gosh, the book ended totally where part two has to come. And yes, it does end that way. Not in a ripoff way, but just in a way like, hey, you know, we can't tell everything because the book would be, you know, 2,000 pages long. So I've kind of left it with my public that if there's enough of a demand for the book, then we'll do a number two. If not, we won't. So it's really up in the hands of the fans. And if we do a number two, you can't bring on a new Sienna. So I hope you are her again. All right.
Thank you. I would love that. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Heather, it was fantastic. And we'll be seeing you later.
Great. Thanks so much, Carrie.